it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hop Along John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors, fishing, and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. Rod and Reel Radio brought to you by El Cajon Ford at Broadway and Main or online at elcajonford.com. Whether it's time for a new or used car or truck, or you need to take advantage of San Diego's best quick lane for service with genuine Ford parts, brand name tires at competitive prices, remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hop Along, John Cassidy.
Hey, thank you, Mark Larson in Southern California. Welcome to another Sunday edition of Rod and Reel Radio. I am indeed your underfished host, Hop Along John Cassidy. It is a pleasure to welcome all of you to the show tonight. That is, if you're not still looking at the ball game. I think there's 17 seconds left. Minnesota Vikings are putting themselves in position to possibly win the game. It's been a great Sunday afternoon of football. We want to welcome you, though, to the show. And then we want to make sure that, you can sit back and you can relax and enjoy the show. And Wendy, what happened, Lori, there? Minnesota, and the last seconds of the game has scored a touchdown to win the game. So I don't know what I can tell you. Hey, welcome to the Minnesota Viking New Orleans post game show. It's a pleasure having you with us here tonight. Hey, let me tell you who our guests are, because we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. First of all, out of the gate, Rob Tressler is going to be with us. Not only is Rob a recreational angler, but he is also a representative from the San Diego Blood Bank, and we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of giving blood and how you, the anglers, can help the blood bank right now since they are in need. Then later on in the show, we're going to talk about a little bit about boat safety and how it relates to the passing of angler Nick Kaler on Lake Okeechobee here last week. We're going to talk about that. And then afterwards, Jose Angel from Cedros Outdoor Adventures is going to be with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Isle of Cedros, the history behind the Isle, because it has a really colorful history. And then talk about you going there fishing and enjoying some of the benefits of being there at Cedros Outdoor Adventures. And then later on in the show, Mr. Mike Lump, general manager of the Fred Hall Shows, will be with us. There's now 3 Fred Hall shows here in Southern California to enjoy. We're going to talk about them all, what's going to be happening, what the dates are, some of the things you can expect to see. So get ready. Fred Hall shows are right around the corner, and we're going to speak to Mike Lum about that. But before we do that, let me introduce to you the co-host of Rod & Reel Radio. She is the national sales manager for Iserline and a pretty good outdoor enthusiast herself, both in the fishing side and the hunting side, Ms. Wendy Toshihara. Wendy, howdy.
Howdy. I'm on cloud 9. I went to the Quail Forever dinner last night in the Inland Empire in Hesperia, and I won the grand prize, a $900 smoker.
Oh. All right. You know, in this day and age, you might have to qualify that, Wendy. A $900 smoker is...
Way to go, John.
Only you could say that, John. I got a Louisiana barbecue pellet smoker.
Oh, what a great deal. And I can't think of a better person to win that than you, Wendy, with all the cooking that you do and all the fish and the game and the other things you're doing. You are the perfect recipient for that prize.
Well, you know what's funny, John, is I just went hunting with Merritt last weekend, and I picked a whole bunch of juniper berries. And juniper berries, I'm not sure if you know, but they use that a lot in brines. And so I can't wait to use my juniper berries. I can't wait to make brine. And I have a lot of fish and meat that I can smoke. So hopefully by next weekend I'll be able to be up and running and smoke a lot.
Well, that's great. And I'm glad you find a great another use for juniper berries. Usually the the use of juniper berries that I am thinking of, we serve with a little tonic. So that is great. Hey, Wendy, we've got an in-studio guest tonight, and I want to introduce him to our listening audience. I know you know him. It's Rob Tressler. And, Rob, we've had on several times talking about the fishing that he and his fiancée, Lori Heath, have been experiencing this past season off San Diego, not only when it comes to the bluefin tuna, but the yellowtail and everything else like that. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Rob. I hope you guys are feeling better.
We are, finally. If everybody's out there listening, if you get the flu, make sure you give yourself a break. It's pretty severe.
For sure. And, Rob, that's one reason why I asked you to come on tonight, though. This is not a fishing-related subject. This is something that fishermen can help with. And I have heard for the past few days on our news stations that there is a cry going out for blood donors. Not only is the supply of blood very low this time of the year, right after the holidays, people don't think about doing that, but also now with the influenza, especially here in San Diego, that is afflicting a lot of people, they're unable, I guess, to donate blood if they have effects of the flu or have had flu within a particular period of time. So I've asked you to come aboard as a representative of the Blood Bank to tell us a little bit about giving blood. So first of all, tell us what you do at the Blood Bank, and then tell us a little bit about the parameters of giving blood and what we should really know before we get down to the Blood Bank.
Sure, John. First and foremost, if you have an active fever or have had an active fever for the past 48 hours, even if you're 48 hours out and you're still from the flu, you want to wait before you come in just to make sure you're clear. We will always test all the blood that we get, but this has really been a tough season for us, more so than usual. We've basically been hit with a triple whammy. This time of the year, donations drop off a bit because it's after the holidays. That's always a critical piece for this. But not only that, we had this layered on top of this flu outbreak, which is very significant and very severe across the nation, but particularly in California. And it does two things. One, people get sick and they can't come in and donate. They have to stay away. And two, it just keeps people from getting out in public in general because they're worried about the flu. So we're at critically short blood supply right now. We're down on most of our blood types down to 1 to 2.5 days of inventory. What that means is if we don't have people coming in, we'll run out of blood to send to the hospitals we service. And we service up to 40 hospitals across Southern California. And so, you know, our job is to make sure we keep those hospitals supplied with blood so people's lives can be saved. We don't want people to have to put off or postpone surgeries and things like that. And that can happen if blood supply gets short. Right now, we're treading water, but the water's slowly rising higher and higher on us. So I really can't emphasize enough, if you've never donated, please do it. If you are curious about it, the San Diego Blood Bank, we have 10 sites across Southern California, all the way up into Orange County, that you can go to donate. We also have 10 mobile buses, and we're running roughly 40 mobile bus drives a week right now just to try and stay ahead of the demand for blood. It'd be nice if everybody didn't drive and drink and didn't get sick and didn't need blood, but we do, and it's something that's never going to go away. So we really, really appreciate and really depend on the community to step up and to come to the blood bank. And by the way, if you come to the main blood donor center for the San Diego Blood Bank down on Market Street where I work, and you say, Rob sent me here, I will give you a free tour of the facility. I'll take you behind the doors and show you the laboratories, the microscopes, and where the blood is actually stored and what we do with it. It's critical because donating one unit of blood can save three lives. We can split it into three things: red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. and plasma, and all three of those can save lives. And in the U.S., last year, blood transfusion saved over 4.5 million people's lives.
Wow.
Okay. So if you just do some back-of-the-envelope math, California's 10% of the population of the U.S., we saved almost 500,000 people's lives with blood transfusions in the state of California. So it's important. And, you know, we don't ask unless we really, really need it. And right now, we really, really need it. And we would greatly appreciate it if folks can step up and find the time. And what the heck, you get free cookies and milk if you come.
That's worth the price of admission, yeah.
You'll lose, you'll burn 600 to 700 calories to replace the blood that you donate. There's now some anecdotal studies saying that maybe donating blood, people that donate blood seem to have a slightly better cardiovascular system. So there's a lot of, and you save three people's lives. What more can you ask for? Save people's lives, lose some weight, or at least then go to Taco Bell if you're like me or someplace. And also possibly help your own health. When you come in, we test your blood. We do blood pressure. We basically do a mini physical on you for free. So we'll let you know how you're doing, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, and things like that, your hemoglobin. Make sure that you and your white cell count. You know, we'll tell you all that. We'll share that information with you. That way you'll know, maybe I ought to back off on the bacon and eggs in the morning, although I love eggs and I love my bacon. But we'll do that for you. Or we'll say, maybe I ought to get a little exercise. My blood pressure is getting a little high. So you basically get a mini physical for free when you come in.
Rob, should people bring in a list of the medications that they're on? Will that help them? I mean, people might say, well, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. I'm on high blood pressure medication, or I'm on this medication or that medication. Is that an important thing to do when they come in to give blood?
Very much so. And in fact, we have a questionnaire. We do ask you a lot of questions if you're a first-time donor. And we'll re-ask you those questions again if you haven't come in a while. And one of those is are you on blood thinners like warfarin, coumarin, or are you having the last 48 hours, have you taken a lot of aspirin? Because all of those things can affect your blood coagulation. And we don't want to take your blood from you if you're predisposed to bleed, and also use that blood with other patients if you have medication, traces of medication in it that could affect their blood coagulation. So we actually have a series of questions we'll ask you before we allow you to donate, and you'll check off and tell us what you took, how long ago you took it, and if you took it, you know, a month or two ago, it's washed out of your system, that's fine. But if you're still actively on things like warfarin and things like that, we have to be careful. You know, safety first for you, the donor, but also for the recipient of the blood. So we do monitor all that. So you don't have to bring the list with you. We'll have that list as part of the questionnaire that you'll be asked about.
All right. Now, I know.
Rob?
Yes, Laura, go.
So, Rob, if somebody is unsure about their health issues but still wanted to donate, do you, and they answer the questions as best they can, can they still donate, and will you be able to test their blood to make sure that it's okay?
We do. Every sample of blood and every product that we make from blood goes through a very rigorous set of testing for safety, for viruses, for parasites, for bacteria, for sterility. And it takes, we send it out, and there's about 18 different things we test for right now to make sure the blood is safe. We'll also take your temperature and your blood pressure. If you've got a temperature, we're going to thank you for coming in, let you have some cookies and milk, and we're going to send you home without taking your blood.
Okay.
And things like that. Generally, if you're in good health and it's been, you know, a couple of days since you've had a cold or sniffles or the flu and a temperature, and you're no longer running a temperature and you haven't been running it for you know, 24 to 48 hours at a minimum, okay, then it's worthwhile coming in. We're going to check you anyway. We take your word for it, but we're still going to take your temperature, take your blood pressure, and we're going to test that blood before we release it to anybody.
Now, Rob,
what about that lingering cough that you have after this flu?
That's not an exclusion criteria, you know, as long as you don't,
okay.
Because if you have active pneumonia, you'll have a fever. It'll be reflected in things.
Oh,
so
okay.
that's nothing, because we do have people that have asthma and cough constantly that come in and still donate blood.
Now, Rob, your fiance Lori Heath, who is here with us tonight, when she goes to the blood bank to donate, she's not necessarily donating blood. She's donating platelets. What is the difference, and what's that all about?
So platelets are something, and you've really hit a key point for us. we're always year-round critically low on platelets. Platelets are what are needed for people that have bleeding disorders to prevent them from bleeding to death. And in most people that have a therapy for cancer, at some point in time, they're going to need platelets so they don't hemorrhage out, because what happens with a lot of the therapies they use for cancer is it wipes out your platelets, and they have to replace them to keep you alive. Also, if you've been in a major trauma or something like that, or you're at risk of bleeding or hemorrhage, platelets are basically the plugs that keep you from bleeding to death. So we're giving those to hospitals a lot. And the problem with platelets, which makes them even more problematic, is blood, we can store and hold blood products for 42 days on the shelf. They have a shelf life of 42 days. After that, we have to discard them. We rarely discard them. Usually the hospitals grab everything we've got. Platelets have a shelf life of only 5 days.
Wow.
So we're constantly turning over platelets. And there are some that don't get used up in time. Rarely so right now. We're consuming everything. It's been a bad year, frankly, in terms of health needs. And so every 5 days, we have to have new platelets to replace the ones that we've distributed or that have expired in terms of their ability to be used. That's a Food and Drug Administration rule for all blood banks. So the clock starts ticking. And actually, if you can come in and donate platelets instead of blood, we love you. We'd love you to come and do that.
Rob, do we have to make an appointment, or can we walk right into the blood bank and donate?
Come on down. You don't have to make an appointment. If you want to make an appointment, we'll take you. We'll phone you and remind you.
Okay.
But we'll just come on down, knock on the door, and we will take care of you.
Where is the blood bank located here in San Diego?
So the one that I work at is on 3636 Gateway Center Avenue. It's one block off of Market Street near the Costco Market, the Costco that's on Market Street. It's about 2 miles from downtown San Diego on Market Street.
All right. And how about parking? Is it pretty easy parking there?
Easy peasy. We've got a parking lot for donors. We've also got street parking if we get overflow. So we've got plenty of room.
All right. Hey, Rob Tressa, thanks a lot for being with us and talking about the need for blood right now. Rob, I'm going to ask you to stay along, and you too, Wendy, because in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about boating safety, and especially in light of the tragic incident that happened last week on Lake Okeechobee. I've got some of the facts about that. We're going to talk in generalities, but we're going to talk about some of the things that maybe you should be aware of that you don't fall into the same situation yourself. So stay tuned. You're listening to Ron Real Radio on AM 540. Wendy Toshihara, Rob Tressler, and myself will be back after these messages.
Can count on El Cajon Ford, as so many Southern Californians have for years. El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like the all-new Fusion and Escape, Edge, Explorers, and more. And now Fiestas with 38 mpg and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock, 150s, 250s, 350s, at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks too, including the all-new Transit Connect. Finally, a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main in El Cajon, or online, anytime, anywhere, at elcajonford.com.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel, specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it. So I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat.
A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy Line, Spro Products, Gamakatsu Hooks, G. Loomis Fishing Rods, Shimano Products, Ovid Reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
2015 and 16, Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame, lighter, stronger, bone crushing drag. Quantum Fishing, we are performance tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
Hi, this is BSS record holder Dean Rojas. El Cajon Ford helped me when I got started in my career, and let them help you with a new F-Series Ford truck. And remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Hey, we do want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Wendy Toshire is with me tonight. Rob Tressler is here. Also, Lori Heath, she's listening in, and we want to welcome you back. This is not the post-game show for the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints, even though it was an exciting game. All of you that were looking at the game, if you're tuned in, welcome. Hey, the first thing I want to do is a little housekeeping. I want to give a big shout-out to our good friend Gary Seplis. If a lot of you have not heard about it, Gary suffered a mild stroke. He was in the hospital for a couple of days. He's now in a rehab center. You know, Gary has worked unselfishly on tournaments with me since 1999. If you fish any of the El Cajon Ford Series tournament, if you fish any of the Opens, most of the tournaments that are for the kids and charity tournaments, Gary has always been there to give us a helping hand. Gary, we all want to wish that you get better soon. I have talked to his wife, Terry. Gary is doing better. And right now, I think they are anticipating a full recovery. So, Gary, get better soon and get on out there. We look forward to seeing you on the water. You know, the other thing I want to talk about in this segment, we talked about it a little bit last week. There was an unfortunate incident that happened in a major bass fishing tournament on Lake Okeechobee last week. I'm going to talk a little bit in generalities. I'll tell you the facts about this that I've heard about them, and then we'll talk a little bit about that afterwards. But what happened, as you are well aware of, there was a major storm front that went through the southeast last week and stirred up a lot of wind and whatever it was. And if you have ever fished on any of the large body of waters out here in the southwest, like Lake Mead, Lake Havasu, Lake Mojave, even Clear Lake, Rob, where you're located, yeah. You'll know that when the wind comes up in these lakes, especially in the open areas, they can get extremely treacherous. I'm speaking kind of like from the viewpoint that I've been a tournament director since 1990, and I have been a tournament director on big water like Lake Mead, Lake Mojave, also Lake Havasu, and know how it is. I've fished major tournaments, and Rob, you have too.
Absolutely.
When there's wind out there, and I tell you, you can find conditions out there on the water like you can't find out on the ocean. Well, in this first major tournament of the season for this organization, they let their fishermen out, and I don't know what the conditions were at the launch area, but I can tell you, on big bodies of water, they can have different little mini areas of weather, and you can be in one area where it's calm and another area of the lake where it is blowing and gusty and not even know that. Everyone that has ever fished Lake Mead would know that. Well, what happened is the fishermen went out. It was a fairly large field of fishermen, close to 200 boats. On this lake, when the weather is bad, one of the normal procedures is you go around the shoreline rim of the lake. They call that the rim channel. But there is a main channel going down the middle of the lake. As I understand it, a lot of the boats chose to head on out using the rim channel. And obviously a few of the fishermen went on out and used the central channel and went out to the middle of the lake. What had happened was when it came time to weigh in, one of the boats did not report in. It was immediately brought to the Coast Guard's attention that there were a couple of boaters missing, one boat in particular, and a search started out. What happened, as we understand it, is one of the boaters going out there did what they call speared a wave, probably at fairly high speed. Now, if you've ever speared a wave, or if you're not familiar with the term, what happens is in a wind wave conditions, there are large waves going across the body of water, but unlike the ocean, they're coming in very frequent interviews. And on bodies of water like Lake Mead and Lake Havasu and Lake Okeechobee, those waves can be 4, 5, even 6 feet high. So what happened is this boater speared the wave, and when you spear a wave, it means that the bow goes right into the wave. And if you're familiar with surfing, you can see how there's a top and a bottom on the wave, and this boat went directly right into the face of the wave. What happens is the wave comes crashing down over the boat, fills the passenger compartment of the boat immediately, and you go from whatever speed you're going from to a dead stop. What happened was the non-boater was immediately thrown out of the boat, and the main engine of the boat stalled. The boater was left in the boat. He tried to restart the boat, he tried to turn the boat around. He still had the engine on, but in turning the boat around, he got hit by another wave that almost swamped him, and it stalled the main engine. The boater got on the bow of his boat, put the trolling motor down. He could see his non-boater, and he tried to troller motor to his non-boater, who was in the water waving at him. Unfortunately, what happened, it was so rough that the boater on the bow of the boat got thrown into the water. And he found it to be so rough that he could not hold on to the boat, so he had enough sense with him to be able to tie himself on to the rope of the trolling motor that he used to put the trolling motor down. So now what he is he's tethered onto his boat by his trolling motor, trying to hold on in these really treacherous wind wave conditions. From what we know, the boat went adrift, and it, 15 hours later, came ashore at one of the marinas, and the boater, I don't know whether or not trying to get out of the boat or because of hypothermia or whatever it was, he was found near the shoreline. He was sent to the hospital. He was in critical condition. Unfortunately, his non-boater, after search, was not able to be found. Day one, day two, day three went by, and unfortunately, the search for the non-boater turned out to be fruitless. What happened was after about 4 days, the non-boater was found by another commercial boat. As I understand it, he was submerged below the water, and they found him on a locator. They retrieved his body, and he is now back with his family, and there's finally closure with this event. But what I want to talk about a little bit is some of the things that we might want to do in these particular situations, whether we're fishing in a tournament or whether we're on the ocean or whatever it is. And I think there are some things that we should be aware of to help to increase our chances of survivability. You know, we had Diane Simons on last year, and what she did is she runs a class for the Coast Guard called Suddenly in Command. And what she does is one of the important things that she emphasizes is that the boater should make everyone that's in the boat aware of certain idiosyncrasies of the boat and things to do in the event that something happens, where the life vests are really important, how to turn on the boat, and other things like that. So I think the boater can always talk to his non-boater and tell him some of the idiosyncrasies that they should know. I think probably in this particular case, one of the most important things is the type of life vest that you're wearing. And I think it should be a rule, and fishermen should know this, whether they're fishing in a tournament or fun fishing. There are many, many different types of life vest. But I think for your own safety, everyone should be looking at wearing a type 1 type of life vest. And what do you get with a type 1 type of life vest? It's used for fishing offshore. It's when you should be used when you are fishing alone, and it is recommended to be used when you are fishing in very stormy locations. It gives you 22 pounds of buoyancy, but more importantly, if you are thrown into the water and you are knocked unconscious, this type of life vest will always keep you face up. It also does an extremely good job of helping you retain body heat. And what it does, it'll keep your head up higher in the water so that if by any chance you're in really rocking conditions or surgy conditions, your head is up higher in the water. But if you're unconscious, it'll keep you face up. A type 1 vest is the only type of vest that there is that will keep you in this type of condition. And let it be known that when it comes to inflatables that are so popular right now in the fishing community because they're low profile and that they don't inflate unless you hit the water, they are exposed to water, there is no type 1 life vest that is available on the market right now. There are other types of life vest, type 2, type 3, and they're a little more comfortable to wear, but they don't give you the buoyancy. They don't necessarily keep you face up in the water if you're in the water, especially if you're unconscious. So my first recommendation is that if you're fishing major tournaments, you know you're in big water. If you're out there on the salt water, make sure that everyone has or you are bringing with you a type 1 life vest.
So I got a question, John.
Yeah. Go, Wendy.
When you're fishing out there in a bass tournament, and especially now during the winter season, you've got heavy gear on. You could have a jumpsuit. You could have layers and layers of clothing. And if you fall in the water, will that life vest keep you afloat?
The recommendation is that if there are certain things that you can do, and we don't have the time to do it, that you can take and put air in either a heavy jacket, and that heavy jacket will hold air for a little while. If you're wearing boots, you can take your boots off. You can empty them, put them upside down, and the boots will retain water. But the major consensus of opinion is if you've got a lot of heavy jackets and things like that, is to basically take them off because for the most part, they will fill up with water and they will not give you the buoyancy that you need. So the type 1 jacket, the way it fits around you, will help you retain some body heat. But I've got to tell you, when you're in 50-degree water, you will start losing dexterity after about 20 or 30 minutes. You will start losing a lot of mobility within a couple of hours, and you will lose consciousness maybe within a couple of hours after that. So hypothermia is really something that works against you, and you have to do everything you can to stay warm. Let me go on to just a couple of other things. There is also a device that's on the market. It's called an EPIRB system. There's other systems on the market. A couple seasons ago, we had Mick Coy on the market. He and Bill Hogstad were in a situation where they got thrown off their boat in the surf line off of Ensenada. As soon as Mick hit the water, a signal went out that alerted the Coast Guard that there was someone wearing that device in the water, and the Coast Guard was able to hone in on it, and within a very short period of time was hovering over them, offering whatever assistance they could because the two of them were thrown into the water. Luckily, in that system, in that instance, they were close enough to the shoreline where they could make it to the shoreline and they could get help from shore. But an EPIRB is an extremely effective way to go. Obviously, in heavy water conditions, speed is awful important. You know, the way these boats are right now, you've got 21, 22-foot boats. They're powered by 250, 300 power, 300 horsepower engines. I know back in 1996, I had a Champion 201 with a 200 EFI on it. After my break-in period, I got on Lake Mead just to see how fast I could go. And even with that boat back in 1996, on a GPS, it registered 82 miles an hour. You don't have to go that fast, believe me. So speed is something, especially when you're in heavy water. The one of the things I want to emphasize, though, to the people, that if you are thrown in the water and you're the only one in the boat, that there is no one to help you assist, one of the things that you can do, and important to kind of maintain your calm, is to work your way to the back of the boat and get to your outdrive. Now, you don't know where your outdrive is, but in normal conditions, if you were wearing a kill switch, your motor is off. And what you can do is, it's hard to climb into the back of the boat with all this wet gear on and everything else like that, but most of your outdrives has a power lift system on it, a button that is located right on the cowling. So if the motor is in a down position, you know, you could put your foot on the outdrive. If it's in an up condition, you can take that the button and get it in the down condition. And then what you can do is climb on to your outdrive and then press the up button, and that there is enough power into that on that that motor that it can help lift you back into the boat, even though you're sopping wet, to get into the boat. Those are just a couple of quick suggestions that I have right now. There are more, but I just want to tell you our good thoughts and hearts want to go out to the family of Nick Kaler. Nick was the non-boater that lost his life in this fishing tournament. You know, this can be a very dangerous sport, and it is a sport. No one goes out thinking that they're going to have an accident, but you always go out and try to be the best prepared that you can. And I hope some of these tips that I gave you are going to give you an awareness that look at your safety gear, make sure you go over everything, that in the event of an accident, you are prepared.
You know, John, really quick, you know, people make fun of me, but when I go on a party boat, I actually carry a ditch bag, and my ditch bag has a life preserver in it, and it also has food. It has my phone in a waterproof container, and, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. And even though, you know, you're on a big boat with a whole bunch of other people, I'm still prepared because you never know what's going to happen.
That's a great one, Wendy.
Wendy, you're right. Hey, guys, it's time to break right now. You know, keep this in mind. I'm not trying to preach, but I've been running tournaments for a long time. I don't want to say I'm an expert even on that, because accidents can happen. A lot of it is up to you. So you've got to make sure, look at what you have in the boat. Look at your life preservers. Go through your safety procedures. Make sure your kill switch works. There are other little things that you can do that, in the event that something tragic like this that happened on Lake Okeechobee, you can give yourself the best chance of surviving. All right, hey, we're going to take a break right now. Coming up next, and I think hopefully he's on the line waiting for us, Jose Angel from Cedros Outdoor Adventures is going to be with us, talk about all the good things that we need to know about is going down to Cedros Island and go fishing. So stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
Oh, Are you ready to sell your current boat and upgrade in preparation for the 2017 fishing season? It's sure to be one for the bucks. I'm Zach Zorn, and a broker for Kessler Yachts located in San Diego. As one of the largest and most reputable brokerages on the West Coast, I can assure that your boat will be sold in a timely manner or that your dream boat will be found. If you want to sell your boat or looking to purchase one, call Zach Zorn at Kessler Yachts, 760-815-8866, so that your name can be added to our long list of satisfied buyers and sellers. That's Zach Zorn, 760-815-8866.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
This portion of Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by the Rockley's Fish Release System. Now you can quickly and easily release fish suffering from barotrauma back to the depths they were caught. Look or ask for the Rockley's at your local fishing tackle dealer.
Hey, we do want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. We're trying to get a hold of Jose Angel right now. I know he's up at the ISE show in Sacramento. So hopefully we'll have him connected with us in just a few minutes. But, you know, Wendy, we were talking about boat safety, and I've got Rob Tressler with me. And, Rob, you were a bass angler
Clear Lake in the Sacramento River Delta.
Hey, and let's put a hold on that because we finally have gotten a hold of Jose. Hey, it is my pleasure to introduce you to a good friend of ours. He is the owner and operator of Cedrus Outdoor Adventures at Cedrus Island. He and his wife, Melanie, run one heck of an operation down there. I've invited him to come and talk to us a little bit about that. Let me introduce our listening audience to Jose Angel. Jose, welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, John. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Can you hear
us?
Okay,
good. I just installed a Bluetooth and it's not working very well, I know. But if you can hear me, that's awesome. How are you, John?
We are doing great, Jose, but I think you were at one of the trade shows right now talking about Cedrus Island, are you not?
No, actually, I'm going to the next show in Sacramento, the International Sportsman International Sportsman Exposition.
All right.
That'll be next week, in this coming week.
All right. Well, Jose, you know, what I wanted you to do is a lot of people, and we've been lucky enough to go to Cedrus Island and enjoy the hospitality of you and Melanie there at the Baja Magic Lodge, but we don't know really anything about the island. And just quickly, you know, Cedrus Island is a very special place compared to any of the other islands that you're going to find off the coast of Baja or even off the coast of the United States. Tell us a little bit about Cedrus Island, will you please?
Yeah, of course. The first thing that comes to my mind is that the island is remote, of course. Not only the distance from any major city, it's at least 200, 300 miles from any major city, which will be Ensenada or La Paz. But the other nice thing about the island is that if you're a fan of the Baja lifestyle in the old days, the island still have that sense of how Baja was many, many years ago before one big development like Cabo or Loreto. The island really keeps the charm of a remote location and a unique fisherman town, and it's a really good lifestyle what people on the island is going and also the other nice thing about the island is that it's very little known for most people, but it's really a historical place because many things happened on that island. For instance, in the it's one of the few islands that has been inhabited by humans, of course, for more than 12,000 years. Wow. And that kind of history is really interesting, and not only archaeological, but also there's some discoveries from species that the ancestors of some seals were digged there, and there's a lot of fossils, there's a lot of life currently on the island. So I'm a big fan of Cedros Island, not only because of our business that is extremely important to us, but also the history, the people of the island, the lifestyle of the island. And I can talk to you about it for hours and hours because I'm really a happy place. It's really my happy place.
Well, let me just ask you just a couple of things that I know that I've learned in the times that I've gone over there. And one of the unique things about Cedros Island is the availability of fresh water that you don't find on the other islands. Tell us why that is.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why the island has been inhabited for so long. There's several major springs on the island that is the water supply for all the community. Actually, one of the medium-sized springs, to give you an idea, is what supplies the town and is on top of the highest mountain of the island, which is really interesting. But if you ride along especially on the east side of the island, you'll find water coming out of different springs and date palms. And it's really, geologically, is really, really interesting, all the story of that. And for instance, my friend, the archaeologist, who's been doing a lot of research on that island, and he's the guy who told me that the island's been inhabited for more than 12,000 years continuously. He said that in one of the springs next to the town is where Sebastián Vizcaíno, in his mapping trip, is where he took water to continue the trip to our Northern California.
Boy, wow. With human habitation there for oh so long and the island being so remote, there also probably has to be a history of fishing around the island to not only sustain the inhabitants, but then also that started drawing people from the mainland there to go to Cedros Island and take part in fishing activities there.
Exactly. I think that currently all the people from the island, the locals, they are really immigrants from some other places of especially Northwest Mexico. But because the Indians were gone long time ago after the missionaries took them to the different places in mainland, where most of them died out of the different disease that they brought from Europe. But the waters around the island are so rich with very valuable commercial species like lobster and abalone that all that richness brought a lot of people from different places, so Baja and Sonora and Sinaloa. It's a very diverse community, actually.
Now, just recently, the island has been designated as a biosphere by the Mexican government, and It used to be there was a time when the sport fishing boats and the commercial fishermen, they could stop by Cedros Island and fish over there, or that the commercial fishermen could come over there and just harvest until there wasn't anything to harvest at all. Tell us a little bit about the designation of Cedros Island being designated as a biosphere.
Yeah, of course, 11 years ago, I was involved in a nonprofit that think about the protection of the islands of the Pacific, not only Cedros Island, but also all the way from Coronado to Santos, San Martin, San Jeronimo, Cedros, San Benito, and some islands in Bahia Magdalena, Santa Margarita and Magdalena. And until December the 7th of last year, when the president of Mexico declared those islands as a biosphere reserve, but not only the terrestrial part, but also an area around the island. And in the case of Cedros and San Benito, the new biosphere reserve created is probably around 100 miles from east to west and 60 miles from north to south. So that's really a big development. That's really, I mean, incredible news for us who are looking into a long-term vision of the island becoming a sustainable fishery, sport fishing and commercial fishery for locals especially. And that decree really gave us the push to really think about long-term for the sustainable use of the island, not only for our companies, but also for the local fishermen who, as you said, in the past were just witnessing how fleets from especially from Ensenada, from Sinaloa, were just devastating the whole fishing populations and destroying the bottom of the ocean of Vizcaíno Bay. So now that's gone, that's stopped, and that's really, really very important for the people who appreciate the island and the life on the island. Especially because now we know that we're going to have resources forever and without any major fleet coming and taking everything away from the island.
Now, Jose, tell us a little bit about yourself now, because I first met you as an entrepreneur, an extremely intelligent fellow that is setting up this business on Cedros Island, but you have a history when it comes to fishing and the ocean that, you know, people may not know about. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I'm a marine biologist. My degree, I got it in La Paz. And being a marine biologist, the coolest thing that it was my greatest decision ever. And living in the peninsula, in the middle of the peninsula, not far from the island, actually, on mainland Baja, I noticed that, or I worked for many, many years in conservation, in research, in management of natural resources, including fisheries, and I got really involved, or I think I specialized
in island conservation. The islands are very important to me, and for some reason I ended up doing this, the sport fishing. And I'm the main advocate for conservation and natural resources management in the region.
Wow. Well, Jose, can I get you to stay on with us for another segment, please?
Of course. Yeah, I'll hold on.
Yeah, hey, we want to talk about Cedros Outdoor Adventures and this wonderful location that you have put together for people like me and from literally all over the world to come and enjoy the benefits of visiting Cedros Island. So we want to get back to you and talk about Cedros Outdoor Adventures, if you will.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540 or at rodandreelradio.com. Wendy Toshihara is with us here. Rob Tressler, he's still here because he's biting at the bit now. He's ready to go down to Cedros Island with Lori.
Absolutely.
Hey, we're going to be talking more about Cedros Island with Jose Angel, the owner-operator of Cedros. But first, a word from these sponsors.
You can count on El Cajon Ford, as so many Southern Californians have for years. El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like the all-new Fusion and Escape, Edge, Explorers, and more. And now, Fiestas with 38 mpg and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock, 150s, 250s, 350s, at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks too, including the all-new Transit Connect, finally a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main and El Cajon, or online, anytime, anywhere, at elcajonford.com.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it. So I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Quantum Fishing's got something for everybody. From the smallest angler to the oldest veteran, we can get you out there fishing with the greatest reels on the market today. From the all-new for 2016 Icon PT, to the Tour Mag, to the brand-new redesigned Smoke Reel, we've got something for everyone in your family. Have some fun. Take a kid fishing. They're the future of our sport. Quantum, we are performance-tuned. You can get your Quantum products at anglersarsenal.com or Anglers Arsenal in La Mesa at 619-466-8355.
Attention Rod and Reel Radio listeners. Be sure to check out the Code Group mobile app. You can listen to the Rod and Reel Radio show live, along with show archives, without internet access. The Code Group app has all kinds of cool features for fishermen, including daily Southern California saltwater reports, weather reports, episodes of Inside Sport Fishing, marine traffic, and much more. Get the free Code Group mobile app by texting the word REEL, R-E-E-L, to 90407, or enter the words Code Group in the App Store on your smartphone.
It's a big deal. You know, I've always wanted to be on Rod and Reel Radio Live. I won the Bassmaster Classic. I did a McDonald's commercial, but now I know I've made it.
I fulfilled my dream. That is just absolutely awesome.
Wendy and I, we want to welcome you back to the second hour of Rod and Reel Radio. And before we get back to our special guest, Jose Angel, from owner-operator of Cedrus Outdoor Adventures, we got another big package for you to look at here, and something I think you're going to want to pay attention to. You want to go out and enjoy the perfect vacation? Well, you could do that at Cedrus Island, but we have an all-expense-paid package to you for our listeners coming on up to the beautiful Occidental Papagayo Resort in Costa Rica. Costa Rica offers you some of the greatest fishing in Central America, but the Papagayo Resort is right there. This is an all-inclusive package with meals, lodging, lavish rooms, and transportation to and from the airport. Now, we were going to give this package away. It's a 3-day, 2-night visit to the Papagayo Resort. But what we're trying to do right now is I got together with John Campbell, and I says, you know, there's a few other things that we need to do on this. So let's see if there's a way we can sweeten this up with airfare and fishing and a few other things. So we don't have the package all together, but we do have the basics. And when it comes about, we're going to be offering our listeners an all-inclusive package to the Occidental Papagayo Resort in Costa Rica. If you want to find out more about it, you can call toll-free at 888-798-9133 and go to connectiontocruise.com and find out what the Papagayo Resort is all about. But keep on listening to Rod and Reel Radio, because we're going to have a great package coming up for you here in the not-too-distant future for a couple to go down to Costa Rica. So stay tuned. I'll have more information in the following weeks. But, you know, a place you don't have to stay tuned to find out all about is Cedrus Outdoor Adventures. And we have Jose Angel on with us. He's the owner-operator of Sedrus Outdoors. And Jose, welcome again to Rod and Reel Radio.
Thank you, Jan.
Hey, now tell us, you know, here we are at Sedrus Island. You've already mentioned it's really a remote location, but the first time I was there, I was amazed at the operation that you put together with not only getting down to the island, but then what happens when we get there, the beautiful resort that you have built there that is literally overlooking the ocean, overlooking the island of Natividad, and then more further off to the mainland of Guerra Negro. Tell us a little bit about what it took to put this beautiful operation together.
Yeah, well, Sedrus Outdoor Adventures is an 11-year project. Me and my wife started thinking about providing some unique experience to people adventurous enough to visit us. That then, in 11 years, we learned a lot of things. Of course, we that's the first thing. That's the first time we do something like this. But in the end, what we like to provide is a safe environment, a family-friendly environment, and of course, all the safety features, not only on the transportation, but also on the pangas, on the lodge. And we thinking always in making things very convenient for everyone. For instance, the packages include everything that you don't have to worry about once we pick you up in San Diego. We take care of every single part of the, every single step on the packages that that you buy. For instance, to describe how we do this is, we pick you up in San Diego, then drive down to Ensenada where we put you in a plane that will fly down to the island. And the first day you'll be fishing. As soon as you put together your reel and your rod, you'll be out on a panga fishing right there. The neat thing about the island and the fishing on the island is that the fishing grounds are not that far. You don't have to ride for 2 hours to get to where you can catch fish. So as John said, you don't only see the water from your room. You see the fishing grounds from your room. So that's really very convenient for everyone. As I say, you fish the first day, which is very important because other companies don't provide that. And then once you come back from that, you're going to have dinner. We'll prepare dinner for you. The ladies will take care of your rooms. Basically, it's a worry-free, very convenient vacation for you to enjoy and not to worry about anything except fishing and what lures to use.
Well, you know, I was fortunate enough, and I've been there a couple of times to visit with you, and had the package where we left on Friday morning. We got to the Baja Magic Lodge and Sedrus Outdoor Adventures. It was around, by the time we got there, it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. We set ourselves up in the lodge. You had a meal ready for us. And then on that Friday, we were on the water, and we got a whole day of fishing in. We had great fishing, came back. You had dinner available for us. We could putz around with our gear. If we hadn't brought some of the lures we needed, you had some of the lures there that we could indeed use. You had rods and reels that we could use for those people that didn't bring quite the right gear. Have a great night's sleep because you're right there at the lodge. You can hear the waves crashing up against the shoreline. You can see the city lights normally from way out there. And then you get up on Saturday. You do the same thing. You fish all day. You supply us with breakfast. We have lunch on the boats if you want. Get back. We weigh in our fish. You have the guys that are sitting there waiting to take our fish, cut them up, and prepare them for us if we so want. We did that on Saturday and Sunday. Had a great time Sunday night, enjoyed the food, and then Monday morning when we met the plane again, Everything was waiting for us. The fish was waiting for us. We got on the plane, went back to Ensenada. You transported us back to the border. Guys that wanted fish, they had their fish all prepared, ready to go. We advise people that want to bring fish, make sure you bring your ice chest and have those ready in your car so that you can put the fish back in your ice chest, and then you can stop off at a 7-Eleven and ice up if you have a long journey home. I mean, the bad part of the whole trip is I got back on Monday morning, and I was back at work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Exactly.
When I'd been in paradise just a few hours before. It's a great trip, Jose.
Yeah, one of the indicators that let us see how good you're doing and how happy you are is that you go to bed by 8. The whole lodge is quiet by 8. That's really something. But yeah, I thank you for making a good description of how we do things. It is really, as I say, it's a whole process. We've been learning. We've been talking to hundreds of fishermen by now, and they tell us we listen to them. That's one of the reasons that I think we are very successful. We listen for recommendations. We pay attention to learn to what's going, what's happening, what should we change, what people really prefer to do. And that sort of things is what I think when we put it in practice in a lodge, is where in our operation is where we know that we're successful, and the indicator of that is that by this time we probably think have more than 70% of returning customers every year, and if that's not something, I think that we're doing a good job.
Boy, that's an excellent job. The returning customers, the word of mouth, but. You know, I've got to tell you, for the remoteness of the location, the operation, Jose, that you put together with regards to the people that meet you there, the friendliness, their courtesy, their willingness to want to help you. I mean, you can't carry anything by the time you get off the plane there until the time you get back, helping you get into the boats, helping you fish, helping you with your fish, giving you information and everything like that. And then if by any chance you don't want to go to bed at 8 o'clock, you've set up a palapa that's a little bit off from the main lodge. Uh-huh. And if you want to sit back, relax, maybe have a smoke or enjoy your favorite adult beverage, you can do that and just kind of chill out, watch the moon if it's in the phase, you know, rise over the ocean, which is something we normally don't see here, and just enjoy mm-hmm. the serenity of the moment. But I got to tell you, if you're there to fish, by the time 8 o'clock comes along, you're ready to get into a state of horizontal refreshment because you've got everybody up again early in the morning. You want to feed them, and you want to get them on down there at first light so they can take advantage of every bit a fishing opportunity that you can provide.
Exact. And I have to comment on my crew. I always hire local people. They're really hardworking people. And to be honest, in the beginning, it was pretty rough for me because I had to do many of the things that currently my crew is doing. But, I mean, once they took over, they're improving, they're really active, they have a lot of energy, and really the only thing I do at the lodge now is taking care of my dogs.
Well, I'm sure Melanie's going to appreciate that too.
Yeah.
Now, you know, being that far south, because I think Cedrus Island is located about 400 miles south of Point Loma. So being down south like that, what species of fish can people expect to be fishing for when they come down there and fish with you?
Yeah, that's very interesting because we have seen changes. I'm sure it's provoked by the climate change situation, or maybe it's just a cycle. But for instance, when we started the operation 11 years ago, the yellowtail was huge and it was everywhere, especially in July and August and September. Now it's been switching to the point where we still have the yellowtail as big as that and a lot more school size, but also we are in the warmer water temperature is bringing other species. We have seen wahoo, but lately, last year, we have an incredible amount of tuna and dorado. And as I say, in the early days, we barely see any of those. So it's really interesting to see how things are changing. And I'm very happy because we now provide a really wide list of species that you can target on every trip. Started in June, you can start with the yellowtail and calico for sure. Maybe Hollywood here and there. Coming August, you start seeing a few dorado, and then by September, you have a lot of tuna, a lot of yellowtail, and of course calicos there everywhere. Calicos are the cockroaches of the ocean to me, because they're everywhere and they're wow. They're not going anywhere. And then you can have out of 10 species of different targets that you can do, which is pretty amazing to me. Now you don't have to just focus on one species. You have many, many options to choose at the island.
Well, you know, I personally, again, have been down there to visit with you. And I can recommend to the anglers that want to go down to Citrus Island, if you're looking for a personal best in a lot of species of fish, this is the place to go to do it. I went down there one year, and all we were going to do is fish for calicos. And the first fish we caught was my personal best yellowtail on a calico rig, basically. And I think he went 52, 54 pounds. I don't know. That fish keeps on getting larger every year that I huge. Talk about it. And, Jose, somewhere you've got a picture of us with that fish. But then
correct.
The next day, we were able to get on the west side of the island, and I was fishing with a friend of mine that was crazy after calicos. And we were able to access the west side of the island. The conditions were right. And we went out, and the Pongadero counted 171 calico bass that the both of us caught just in one day. And that included the time to get there, which probably took about an hour and a half, and the time to get back. And we made some stops along the way because our guide wanted to show us some of the offshore reefs that were on the east side of the island and see if we could catch some big fish there. And we did, but we had just a tremendous calico fishing day. And I know probably you find it strange, Jose, but you get a lot of parties that want to go down there, and all they want to do is fish calico bass because it's a calico bass mecca.
Yeah. The remoteness of the island make it very special for whatever you want to target. The As I say, being that far from any major fleet or bigger cities, the island is just live. The ocean is so full of species and resources that it's just amazing. I'm really happy for the protection of the waters, not only for us, our business, but also for the local community who was, in the past few years, they've been struggling because with the raise of the water temperature, the abalone was dying and the fishing was not giving too much. They were not earning enough money, and then the lobster were really decimated by the shrimp trawlers. So those were a couple of sad years in the community. Now it's recovering. So I'm very happy for what's going on the island. And the other thing is, your commentary about your biggest catch for yellowtail is also very common, actually. A lot of our clients, they're really happy with with the first day, sometimes they just catch the. Sometimes in the half day that they arrive, they say it's been the best fishing day of their lives. So that's really a compliment that I really appreciate when people comment that. And also something that I have seen through the years, of course, is that now we are getting a lot of dads with their kids for fishing, not only boys as young as 7-8 years, but also with their daughters to bring to learn to fish, because it's so easy to go out fishing there. It is, you just go nearby and you're already catching fish, and that's really attractive for a lot of people who don't like to be on the panga that long, who is new to fishing, and especially the parents that feel so proud when their kid catch a 40-pound yellowtail. You have to see their eyes when they come back from fishing something like that.
It's a great experience, Jose. Now, for people that want to find out more about Cedros Outdoor Adventures, find out more about the Baja Magic Lodge, to see the facilities you have, to check what it is that they need to bring with them going on down there, but more importantly, to see what the schedule is, what openings that you have, what packages you have available, what the rates are. How's the best way to go about doing that?
Yeah, we have a very comprehensive webpage. You find a lot of information, not only about our operation, but also about the island. We have a lot of pictures, and I'm sure if not everything in the webpage answer your questions, you can always give us a call. We are pretty much 24/7 on the phone or email. You can always contact us any way you want. Just go to www.cedrosoutdooradventures.com, and you will find pretty much everything you need to know on the webpage, including how many seats are available for any date that you're looking for. It's an interactive web page. You can also send us an email. The phone numbers are there. The emails are there. Just give us a call, send us an email, and we'll be very happy to answer any of your questions, as we always do.
Yes, for sure. And I tell you, your people are always good with giving you the information, making sure you're set on up, because I know there's some anxiety about, wow, where am I going to meet everybody and how am I going to get down there? And your people make it so simple and are so accommodating that, again, all you have to do is worry about getting to the meeting spot, which is not that big a deal. And the other worry that you have is how to get home after they deliver you back there. Other than that, everything is pretty much taken care of for you, Jose. Man, I enjoy traveling to visit you. Also enjoyed seeing you at the shows, and I think you're scheduled to be at the Fred Hall shows coming on up, where our friends here in Southern California can come and meet you in person. And if you're not already all booked up, talk to you about a possible trip to Cedros Outdoor Adventures.
Yeah, we'll be at the, as I say, International Sportsman Exhibition in Sacramento. We'll be at both Fred Hall shows in San Diego and in Long Beach. And we also are doing the Pacifico Sport Fishing Festival in Orange. Well, so anywhere you're nearby, give us a visit. We'll be happy to talk to you. We'll be happy to show you pictures. We'll be happy to help you with your reservations. We're here to help you do this the most convenient possible for you.
Right. You know, we've been talking the past couple of weeks about things that are on people's bucket list, and I've got to tell you, you got to put this on the list, because if you haven't been down there, you're missing a truly unique adventure, and it's one of those things that you can check off that really isn't that difficult. You can almost do it on a long weekend. So, Jose, thank you so much for being with us, and good luck at the shows, and I'll know that we'll be seeing you probably in Long Beach or Del Mar if we don't get a chance to talk to you before that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to give this information to your people. And thank you for the opportunity, John. It'll be good to have you again in our lodge.
We love to do it, but thank you, because it's always good hearing the story behind the story, and you're the guy to provide it for us for Cedros Island. Thank you again, Jose.
Thank you, John. Have a good night.
All right, thank you. Hey, Wendy and I, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, general manager of the Fred Hall Shows, Mike Lum, he's going to be with us to tell us what's in store for us in the next couple of months. You're not going to want to miss out on this. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
I like rafting. I love whitewater. But I never forget that snowmelt in the river can cause cold water shock. I wear a life jacket always. Anyone with me has got to do the same. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fish at Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn. Nobody treats you better. Nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn Jr. For years, my dad said it so often. Nobody beats El Cajon Ford, and nobody treats you better. And that's so true. Now I am proud to join the El Cajon Ford team, because with them, it's all about family. They treat you right. You're part of our family at El Cajon Ford.
Thanks, Tony. We'll see you at Broadway in East Main and ElCajonFord.com.
And we would like to welcome everyone back to Rod and Reel Radio. Wendy Toshihara is here tonight. I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. Stan Vandenberg, he's on a long-range trip. Stan will hopefully be back with us next week. Hey, Wendy, you know, this time of the year, usually, you know, everything's in a lull when it comes to fishing. Not necessarily this year, but one of the things we look forward to is show season, and we've got some great shows coming on up. What do you think? Okay, Wendy, I guess we lost Wendy. Well, anyway, we're getting into show season, and we are lucky enough out here on the West Coast to have the major consumer show in the United States just right here in our backyard, not only in Long Beach, Del Mar, but now in Bakersfield. Let's bring aboard the general manager of the Fred Hall Shows to tell us exactly what we are in store for here in 2018, Mr. Mike Lum. Mike, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, I had Wendy here, but I think we lost her just a little bit ago. Wendy, are you? You're back.
There she is. Hi, Wendy.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Wendy, we are just talking about, normally we're in a little bit of a fishing lull, and the thing that we have to look forward to is show season, and boy, we out here on the West Coast are blessed because we have what is, I think, unarguably the best consumer shows of anywhere in the country with the Fred Hall Shows. What do you think?
I agree with you. You know, the Fred Hall Show is amazing. And for anyone who has never been to a Fred Hall show, especially the Long Beach Show, I suggest you go and at least give 2, maybe 3 days.
You got it. Well, we've got the general manager of the Fred Hall shows, Mr. Mike Lum. Mike, the first thing I have to ask you, you had 2 great shows with Del Mar and Long Beach, and then they go, man, why don't we take another one on in Bakersfield? I guess I have to ask you, what the heck were you thinking?
Well, you know, the Bakersfield show is over 40 years old, and the gentleman that we acquired it from has been running it for the last 20. And we've been friends with him for years and years, and it was only a matter of time, really, before he just got ready to retire and wanted to make sure that the shows continued on. And so we worked out a deal, and so they became part of the Fred Hall shows. We still continue to call it the Fred Hall Central Valley Sports Show because it is a little bit different than our normal, what people think of as our normal shows. Although last year, 2017, was our first year of actually running the Central Valley show, and we were able to bring a significant amount of fishing tackle and boats to the show to add to what they already had as a very impressive selection of RVs and other outdoor-related exhibits. We don't typically have much in the way of RVs at our other shows because we don't have any room. But Bakersfield, which is held up at the Kern County Fairgrounds, has a lot of room, and they have hundreds and hundreds of RVs as part of the show. And that's been kind of their you know, core for years and years, is this outstanding RV show. And they had boats, and they had fishing, and they had hunting, and they had all kinds of outdoor recreation, including sand drag racing and all kinds of outdoor activities, including, of course, the dock dogs and several other attractions that have been at the show up there for years. And we tried to keep everything they had and add what we feel is our specialty, which is fishing tackle, and fishing boats. And so we were successful in doing that last year. We got off to a good start, and it looks like from all indications it's going to continue to grow. And at some point, who knows how big it'll get. But for now, we're very pleased with the growth that we had last year, and so far the signs for 2018 look fantastic. It will be this year the first show of the 3. It will be starting on March the 2nd, which is a Friday. It's a Friday through Sunday show, and that's the weekend just before Long Beach. So if somebody is interested in checking out the RVs or just wants to get a head start, come on up to Bakersfield. You'll really enjoy the show. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot like a fair, actually. A lot of outdoor activities and a lot of outdoor exhibits and a lot of cool things to see, including on Saturday, a magnificent custom car show, a vintage car show that's part of the fun. That's only on Saturday, but you'll come up and see 500-600 or more vintage, classic, and custom cars that are on display, and that's been part of this show for a number of years, and they use it as a fundraiser for the local community, and it's hugely successful and a lot of fun.
Mike, I've got to tell you that for dealers and manufacturers that have been associated with the Fred Hall shows here in Los Angeles and the Del Mar area, and they know the effort that Fred and then with Bart later on and yourselves that they put out to not only promote the shows, advertise the shows, get the consumers to come on in. This has to be a tremendous opportunity for manufacturers and dealers that are not familiar with that central California area around Bakersfield to bring their products to a consumer base that maybe that's never been exposed before and are probably just dying to hear information on some of the things that we take for granted here, like hunting lodges and going to Alaska and sports fishing Southern California and rods and reels and gears that they've never been exposed to. And you've got a tremendous consumer group up there that people can expose themselves to.
Well, we were fortunate in that there's 3 buildings that we use as part of the show up there, and one of them in particular did not get utilized very, very well prior to us getting involved. In fact, it's kind of a hidden building that you can't see from the main entrance, and so as soon as I walked into it, before we acquired the shows, I had already decided that that's the one I wanted to make the fishing hall. And I also wanted to turn it into one of the show, the main show entrances. So we now have two entrances into the show. You can buy tickets in two different places. And if you're a fisherman, you can walk directly into the fishing hall. And we were successful in filling that room last year. In fact, we had planned on having our Daiwa bass tank in there last year, and flat ran out of room. We ended up moving that outside so we could continue to fill more booths. And so we did that. And this year, those companies have come back and others have joined, and some of the booths have gotten a little bit larger. So it's loaded with fishing tackle, more than that show has ever seen by a long shot. And you're right, the public up there seemed to really enjoy getting to see the tackle and talking to the manufacturers right there. And that particular show is in obviously Bakersfield, but it pulls people from Fresno and Visalia, from the Tehachapi area, and even the folks over in Palmdale drive over to it. And so it's a pretty big audience when you get there. And surprisingly, a great percentage of those anglers there are saltwater anglers. You would think not because of where it's located, but after you think about it for a moment, you think about what the temperature is up there during the summer, awful lot of those people want to get near the coast. And so they go over to Morro Bay, and they go down to Santa Barbara, and they fish Ventura. Some of them go down and fish Long Beach, and then all the way down to San Diego. And very, very active saltwater angling participation out of that Bakersfield market.
I can just imagine. I mean, think of the tremendous informational source that the Fred Hall Show is. Who can ever be exposed to all of the Alaska lodges or all the Canadian lodges that you are to, exposed to when going to a Fred Hall Show, or making trips down to Mexico, or visiting the landings here from Ventura County all the way down to San Diego, doing that, and then all the gear that you can use, freshwater and saltwater, it is just a tremendous opportunity, and I hope people take advantage of that, because the effort that you people put in putting on that show, or any show that we've seen from the past years that we've been going to Fred Hall shows, is definitely worth the effort in supporting you guys.
Well, you know, getting to see the manufacturers and seeing the selection of product is certainly one aspect of it that I think we do better than anyone else, and that's partially because of we have momentum, you know, momentum that's carried us 73 years, and there's not many companies, if any, that can say that. But to me, honestly, the highlights of all of our shows is the camaraderie. To be able to show up and rub elbows with like-minded people that are interested in the same thing you are, and stand at a booth and overhear a conversation of a trip that somebody went on last summer, and to hear the details and see the pictures and hear how much fun it was, and then be right there and get to ask questions and join in, and with hundreds upon hundreds of how-to seminars. We'll do over 400 instructional how-to seminars in Long Beach alone during that 5 days. And once you're in the show, those are all free. All you have to do is select which ones you want to listen to and then go sit down, and they cover the gamut. If you want to go trout fishing, if you want to go bass fishing, if you want to go and catch giant tuna on the Long Range trips, if you want to go to Baja, if you want to go to British Columbia, all those topics. And then in addition to that, we have many interactive displays within the show. And Wendy is an instrumental part of that with her affiliation with Iserline, because she has put together a staff of people who we call it the Iserline Fishing Coach. And it's a very informal and very comfortable setting where you can walk up to that table, sit down, pull up a chair, and look across the table and say, you know, I've always wanted to know, what does this mean? Or how do I do this? Or how do I tie that connection? And there's a person there to show you and answer your questions. And I don't know where on earth you could go and sit down in a chair and look across the table and one-on-one get all your fishing questions answered any more efficiently than you can at the Iserline Fishing Coach booth. And that's just one example. I mean, there's many, many, many things like that going on. So the opportunity to be involved and to get to know more than you know, and to see old friends, and, you know, heck, there's a whole bunch of people that actually use it as an annual gathering point where they meet for lunch or they meet for dinner, and then they all go over to the show. And it's a real It's a real tool to bring the sport fishing community together from A to Z.
Mike,
no type of fishing.
We got to take a break right now. Can I please ask you to stay aboard for another segment? Because we've got the granddaddy of them all coming up, the Long Beach Show. We need to talk a little bit about that before we cut you loose.
Well, I'll be happy to stay on. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, this is Rod and Reel Radio. Wendy and I, we're going to take a break right now. Stay tuned. There's still a lot more to come after these messages.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program. It is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right. You only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell BASS-BOAT. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Hey, Wendy Toshihara and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. With us is the general manager of the Fred Hall Shows, Mr. Mike Lohm. Mike, you got the granddaddy of them all coming on up, the Fred Hall Long Beach Show. Tell me, do you have any trouble getting exhibitors and manufacturers interested in the Long Beach Show this year?
No. In fact, quite the opposite. We're really having a problem fitting everybody in, and our demand for space at the show is higher than it has been in maybe ever. And that has a lot to do with, I think, the quality of the fishing that we've had the last few years. Certainly has got a lot of new people excited. It's brought a lot of older fishermen that maybe weren't fishing as much recently back. And the boat business has been absolutely phenomenal. All the boat dealers are telling us that their boat business is very, very strong, and that they're anticipating a wonderful show season. And I can believe it based on the amount of space that they're taking in the shows. And so our only problem is trying to fit everything in. I can assure anybody that comes to the show, it is going to be packed and action-filled.
Yeah, I think the one thing about the Fred Hall Long Beach Show is it can be whatever you want it to be. If you want to just cruise the aisles and see all the twinkling lights and all the fish mounts, you can. But if you really want to get interactive with it and talk to the people, the effort that you make for your customers that come in when it comes to seminars, exhibits, things for them to see, things for the family to do, it is a one-stop destination for sure coming to the Fred Hall Show.
Well, people often talk about spending a couple days at the show, and that may sound a little far-fetched if you've not attended the Long Beach Show. But once you're there and you realize how much there is to do and how you spend a lot longer getting down a couple of aisles, and then you realize I didn't even get to see half of this show. You realize at that point that it does take a couple of days to really take it all in. And, you know, there are still exhibitors, especially. I kind of chuckle when I talk to them because they're so busy in their booths that they never really take the opportunity. They never get the opportunity to go out and see what's in the show. And we have a lot of interactive things at the show going on, and quite often during the off-season, I'll ask them, did you get a chance to see this? And always the answer is no. And they know how to get from the exhibitor entrance to their booth, and they know how to get from the booth over to the restroom and back to their booth. Other than that, they don't know how big the show is. So I think the attendees who get to come and spend the time and walk all the aisles and listen to the seminars and visit with their favorite fishing experts, that to me is the best part of the entire show. And then, of course, it's a very family fun event, and we spend a lot of time focused on that. Of course, all kids under the age of 16 get into the shows, all Fred Hall shows, for free. And that's how it has always been, and that's how we will always keep it, because we want people bringing as many of their kids as they possibly can to the show, and we try to put as much stuff into the show that's fun for them to do as well. And so family fun is definitely part of this. We want the kids coming out. We want them catching their first trout at our trout pond, and we want them to make sure that the next year that they're anxious to come back, and most of them are. There's an awful lot of parents who pull their kids out of school the week of Fred Hall, so they can come and enjoy the show on a weekday without the absolute crushing crowd of Saturday. And so we see an awful lot of kids during the week, and I always tease them when I see them. Aren't you supposed to be in school? And they always get a big smile on their face. But it's kind of a holiday for them to get to come to the show, and that's great to see.
Yeah, I know. I know the Fred Hall show has not always been a consumer show, but I've got to tell you, if you are in the market for taking a trip for a destination, let's say, whether it be Alaska, Mexico, wherever, if you are going to be in the market for a boat, if you are looking for the state-of-the-art fishing gear, the Fred Hall Show is the place to get it, because I can almost guarantee you, you're going to find the best deal of the year on a vacation, on a fishing destination, on that fishing gear, on a fishing boat, on an accessory, anywhere that you're going to find in the other 365 days of the year. It's going to be there at the Fred Hall Show.
Well, most of the people that come to the show to explore the travel opportunities, they're actually getting to talk face-to-face with the owners or the guides themselves that will be on with them on their vacation. And that's something you don't, I mean, where else could you have that opportunity to sit down and actually ask questions of the very person you're going to spend, you know, several days fishing up in the Yukon or in Alaska or any of that, or even on a long range boat? Most of the boats have their captains there, and you get to ask those guys questions and get to see and feel what their personality is like. And, you know, there's a reason why there's hundreds of exhibits at the show, and they all manage to do very well, because, you know, not everybody wants to do the exact same thing. And there's no other place I know of that you could get access to those people and to get the good deals all at the same time.
And the same thing with the manufacturers too. You can actually go, and most of the time you can talk to the individual that designed that product and was involved in the manufacturing of the product. So you can get down with them and you can talk about, why did you do this, and why didn't you do that, and, you know, what happens when I do this, and if what you're looking at is maybe not the exact product that you actually need, that person there is there to try and fit you into a product that best fits your application. So whether it's a boat, a fishing rod, a reel, a hook, a lure, a piece of cooking equipment, a knife, whatever it is, the people that make those things are there, and they're not order takers. They're the people that can send you on the track so you can make an educated decision when you actually decide to buy something.
You know, it's interesting. That's a two-way street, because I have conversations with manufacturers when we go back for the annual trade show, which is the ICAST show in Orlando, and I talk to the manufacturers there that come out to our show each year, And they tell us that they come to the show, and it's as much of a learning experience for them. They get to hear what the West Coast anglers are looking for and how they want to see something done. And they go back and talk to their design teams and say, look, I was out at the Fred Hall show, and this is what, you know, often I heard people ask for this, or they'd rather see this style of hook, or they'd rather. And so it's a learning experience for them as well. And, you know, good things happen when you put that many fishermen in one place. Not many negatives come out of sharing that information and those stories, good or bad, whether it's a product that hasn't performed as well as you think it should, or a product that just doesn't offer the features that you're looking for. That's the place to be able to tell those guys about it.
Now, Mike, you were telling us that the Central California show, the Central Valley show up in Bakersfield, goes from Friday to Sunday. Now, you have extended hours when it comes up for the Fred Hall show in Long Beach. You want to go over those for us, please?
Sure, absolutely. The Bakersfield show is a three-day event, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that's March 2nd through the 4th. And then the very following week, starting on Wednesday, which is March 7th, the Long Beach show opens on Wednesday, and it runs through the fall through that Sunday. So it's 5 days, starting Wednesday, March 7th, and running through the 11th. And then we leave a week off, and then we move down to the San Diego market, and we open at the Del Mar Fairgrounds on Thursday, March 22nd through the 25th. So we have a 3-day show in Bakersfield, a 5-day show in Long Beach, and a 4-day show in Del Mar. And that's based upon a lot of things. I mean, every show we used to do used to be 5 days. And we adjusted and started adjusting. A lot of it has to do with traffic patterns. We have some issues during the weekdays getting a lot of people to the Del Mar Fairgrounds because of the way the traffic patterns are in the evenings and the late afternoon. So we've shortened it to 4 days. That seems to have helped. We open earlier now on Thursday and Friday than we used to, and it just seems to be the right combination for that market. And so we kind of adjusted based on what's convenient and what's the best for getting people to the shows.
I think Wendy and I, you know, being long-time participants in the Fred Hall shows, we can advise people, just don't plan to show up and spend a couple of hours there, because if you do that, number one, you're going to do a real disservice to yourself, because you're going to miss the opportunity to see and do a lot of things that you wouldn't normally get a chance to do. And the other thing is, don't leave the family at home. This is a family event. Bring mom, bring the kids, because there's something for everyone to do over there. Plus the fact you bring the family there, you'll probably get an opportunity to spend a little more time there to see all the things that you want to do. What do you think, Mike?
No, I think that's key. It is a family event, and we learned a long time ago that when we created the shows, we did not want this to be just for the guys and the family, and in recent years, the last 20 years, we're seeing more and more and more women that are actually fishermen. But even the women that are the diehard fishermen in the family, we encourage them, please bring your kids. And if they have any interest at all, they will certainly, their eyes open really big, and they don't know what they're going to get to do next. There's all kinds of great things at the show. We have a couple of very large mobile aquariums. We have the Daiwa Bass Tank that's loaded with largemouth bass and some other freshwater species, compliments of the California Fish and Wildlife who put those on loan to us at our shows, at all three of our shows. And then we also have a saltwater tank, which is something we've had for years and years, where people can see the calico bass and the sand bass and sometimes a halibut and the lobsters and different things live in a tank. And then we also bring in some touch pools, some actual touch pools where the kids can go in and handle some of the sea creatures that are brought in and learn what they're all about and get to feel what they feel like. And it's just one more added thing that the kids get to do when they come to the show.
Mike, as we get closer to the opening of the shows, can we invite you back and we can talk about some of the more specific things that people are going to want to come to the Fred Hall shows and see?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to also mention that at all of the Fred Hall shows this year, the Coastal Conservation Association of California will have booths inside and outside. So if you are not familiar with CCA, please take the time to stop by that booth and talk to those guys and find out why it's so important that we continue to promote that organization and grow it here in California. It is the future of recreational fishing for us, and we're very pleased to have them and their staff and their volunteers helping at the shows. And in Delmar and Long Beach, if you sign up and buy their package, you get to come in the show for free.
All right, Mike. Hey, thanks a lot. They're about ready to pull the plug on us. We'll check in with you in a couple of weeks and find out more about what's happening with the shows. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Hey, and the schedule for the Fred Hall shows you can find at Rod and Reel Radio on Facebook, and we'll have it posted on the website. Hey, Wendy, that's it for tonight. Thanks a lot for the participation. On behalf of Stan and Wendy, also Big Tuna Bill, Eddie McCune, the founders of the show, we want to thank Jorge and Ben for their contributions tonight, but we want to thank you for listening. So for everyone, go out there and get them. They're getting away. We'll see you on the water. We're out for now. Good night, everybody. How are you?